Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Ryan Fraser.
This is Troy Deeney.
This is Gus Boyett.
This is Don Hutchison.
This is Jürgen Klopp, and you're listening to The Big Interview with Graeme Hunter.
Thank you, Jürgen. I travel to all these interviews from Barcelona, and our socios, our beloved members, keep us on the road. This independent podcast wouldn't happen without them. Please go to patreon.com/Graeme Hunter right now to join us, to become a socio, and to get every interview we produce without adverts and before it goes out on the main feed, plus lots of bonus content, including the chance to put questions to our guests and to me via the monthly Q&A. You will also get bonus content every month, including the audio versions of my regular columns for ESPN. So do please go to patreon.com/Graeme Hunter and join the club. And get your family and friends to do so. Maybe even strangers in the street. Love you. We decided to record this Icons branch out of The Big Interview because when you speak to elite footballers and coaches, what happens is that other characters emerge. It's like by the telling of stories or the sharing of opinions and emotions about great people in football, it's as if they come to life in the podcast series. Certainly, that's the case for me. And the point of having emotions and opinion is to share them, because what that does is stimulates debate, stimulates affection in others. And we've had so many great footballers who were repetitively mentioned across the big interviews last, 6 years, that we decided to dedicate some episodes to letting them shine, letting them speak more loudly. So, at first, we went through, who have we done so far? Henrik Larsson, we've done Zidane, and now it felt like time for Cristiano Ronaldo. Here, we start with Quinton Fortune talking about the rough footballing environment at Manchester United when Cristiano was regularly ribbed, sometimes excessively, but it only drove him on to work even harder. Then there's former Real Madrid assistant manager Paul Clement's tale of Ronaldo calming him down in the tunnel just before the 2014 Champions League final against Atletico in Lisbon. Of course, in talking about Cristiano Ronaldo, this remarkable man who stands out against any comparisons across sport because of his remorseless dedication to trying to be the best, to trying to fulfill his own personal goal of being the best footballer in history. He's quite open, has been open about that for a long time, that's what he considers his life's objective. Now, whether he's got there or not, we're talking about a man 750 goals later with trophies for club and country and a respect that perhaps is dwarfed a little bit by the affection for his great competitor, Leo Messi. But I feel that Ronaldo has well and truly proven himself to be regarded as one of the all-time modern greats of football. That's why we have to have the man who actually agreed his deal from Manchester United to Real Madrid, Ramon Calderon, talking about signing this Portuguese man of war. Lastly, Ryan Fraser, Aberdonian at heart, but now with Newcastle, talking about playing against Cristiano when Madrid came to Bournemouth to dole out a friendly thrashing, well, semi-friendly, when he put a free kick in the top corner, even Mr. Fraser was applauding. Not the done thing, but wholly understandable. Tuck in to Cristiano Ronaldo in the Big Interview Icons series. And don't worry, there'll be more to follow.
when Ronnie arrived, was we played against him at against Sporting on our last game of the preseason. We just travelled from America, and I remember after the game, I think Roy Keane was saying, I think that was one more too much because we were battered, we were finished. But that's our excuse. I felt for John O'Shea because he played on John O'Shea's side, and he was just...
John was a fullback that day?
Yeah. Oh my goodness, Ronnie was just outstanding.
What, did you know anything about him before you played that game?
No.
It's just end of pre-season, we've got a game against Sporting Lisbon.
There's a new stadium that I think they just opened.
Okay.
And
building towards the Euro champs.
He was outstanding. Even watching him while we're playing against him, he was just step over, cutting inside, both feet, just
a little bit Johannesburg.
Yeah, and that was his mentality at the beginning. He just wanted to embarrass people. I remember when he arrived there, he was happy just killing players in games and training. At the beginning, he just wanted to make sure he's going to destroy whoever was in his way. And enjoy that challenge. But for me, the thing that made Ronaldo so special was his mentality, his attitude, that self-belief.
You've always said that they love that mentality. But when you first meet somebody who says, I am the best, I want to be the best, does that automatically click with you? Did it automatically click with everybody? Because again, I know there were people in that United environment who wouldn't have warmed to that initially.
There must have been a few players, definitely, but and you could see it in training. But I enjoyed my time with Ronaldo because, first of all, the language. Because he came to me because I spoke Spanish, so he would speak to me in Portuguese. So I would translate for him, and if he needed help, I would kind of explain what he wanted. Mm-hmm. And if they needed to tell Ronaldo something, they would speak to me, and that's how we ended up having a great relationship. But I think in that environment, because he was showing it on the pitch and in the games, there wasn't much players could say to him at the end. Yes, he wasn't, that the end product wasn't there yet, but what he was showing, everyone could see, this is ridiculous, he's unbelievable natural talent. He was beating people at ease, but at the same time he came with the confidence that he's telling people he wants to be the best. But until he brought that end product, there was friction because people wanted the ball at a certain time, and
football environments can be rough and demanding, and there's a lot of digging.
He got it every day.
That's my point.
He got it every day in training, because when Ronaldo arrived, he was doing all the fancy stuff. Not fancy stuff. I like to say it's skill, because he had the amazing ability. He was doing, beating people, going by, and it was beautiful to watch. But then at times, obviously players are clever. This is the high level, so it would just push you a nudge of the ball, and people would laugh, and like we would tease him after, you got weights, and this would eat him. Oh my goodness, this would drive him absolutely mad. We would tease him, saying, David Beckham's jersey's still there, so he's just borrowing the jersey, you know, that spot. This would infuriate him. He was like, I'm the best.
But he would go and do something about it.
He would go and train his socks off. Oh my goodness, that's why I say to young players now, when I have the opportunity to speak to them, if you want to be anywhere near Ronaldo, you have to live for football, eat football, sleep football. This guy was, he was doing that every single day. Came into the training, after training I was fortunate to see it, put on the ankle weights and do the step overs, take off the ankle weights again, free kicks, sprinting, go to the gym, get stronger. And then you could see it a few weeks.
You see the difference?
He was getting stronger, he was making more confident. People would be, and he was enjoying it. He was like, no one pushed me off the ball. And he got stronger. He never wanted for us to tease him again about someone pushing him off the ball.
When he was learning from those people, but Keane and Neville and Scholes and Giggs and Ferguson, you know, could there really have been a better environment for this guy who wanted to soak up all the hostias? And then it went again and go, right, I'm going to change that. They'll never do that to me.
He got the best environment. He was so fortunate, the timing and the blessing he had, because the manager had the patience and the vision to keep playing him, because the manager knew the potential and could see the desire. And that's what sets him apart from all the young, talented players. You could see the desire in Ronnie. Ronnie got a couple of times in training, people would go through him, and he was like, he figured it out. Like, I had to be quicker, to be stronger. Because obviously a couple of times when he arrived, he was diving a bit, then quickly had to understand, we don't do that here. You get up. We don't dive over unless you just show your strength. and he learned that in an environment.
So he wasn't told it; he just saw it, or people might have told him.
I think someone's manager probably spoke to him, but the few players definitely made sure they let him know without speaking to him, which means you get a couple of tackles in training, and quickly realize that I need to be quicker here. I need to think quicker. I need to be stronger. I don't want to be pushed off the ball.
But as you've enjoyed the rest of his career, do you find it easier? Because some people, in my opinion, don't appreciate what we've been seeing because they don't like plucked eyebrows or they don't like the preening or his goal celebration. What occurs to me over and over again, maybe because I'm a little bit older, maybe because I've got a little bit of common sense, waking up.
Yeah.
In our working lifetime, we might not see this again.
Ronaldo, what people see from the outside is... It's a show. When you speak to Ronaldo like this, like we do now, it's a different human being.
Thank you. Can I offer what I think? Bright, often very witty.
Yep.
You know, definitely a funny guy, but a big working brain in there, no?
Amazing human being. Does a lot of things, good things in the choir that probably people don't know about. But this is probably want people to know that he does good things, but... amazing mother, family, sister, brother, good family people. Funny guy. Oh my goodness.
Going back to that first season, you know, Carlo's idea initially when he arrived was to play Ronaldo as a striker. Now, whether that be, you know, through the middle on his own, or whether that be in partnership with Benzema, that was his idea, that he wanted him to play closer to the goal, he wanted to have less responsibility defensively. So, you know, early in the games, both in pre-season and I believe going into the start of the season as well, Cristiano played quite an advanced position. And he actually came and spoke to the coach about that he didn't feel overly comfortable playing in that position. You know, his upbringing as a player and through his time at Sporting and then at Manchester United was to play off the left. And from that position, you know, drive with the ball, come inside, was able to go down the left, was able to arrive at the back post from crossing positions from the right-hand side. And Carlo made a decision, you know, right then that he wanted, you know, arguably the best player in the world to play where he was comfortable, you know, and he wasn't going to make him play where he thought he would be better. He wanted the player to play where he was comfortable.
What is going to a Champions League final like? What was it like then? Arriving the night before, arriving in Lisbon, can you break that process down up to kickoff? As far as you can remember it.
Yeah, I'm almost certain I'm right in saying that we went two nights ahead for this game. So we trained at Valdebebas 2 days before the game, and then we headed out to Lisbon. Normally we would always be there just the day before, train in the stadium, and then, but we went that night. So we got there 2 days before, in the evening, dinner, beds. Next morning it was up, so now we're the day before the game. Myself, Carlo, Zizou, we reviewed some video of Atletico. We start to build about what we're going to do with our final presentation stuff with the players. We never changed the warm-up once during the whole season. They knew exactly what to do, they knew the prep. Back into the dressing room, and there was recently, I saw it about a year after the final actually, they showed a Fly on the Wall documentary of what it was like building up to that, and there was the camera in the dressing room, and that was nice to see, you know, what it was like. You could see the people.
Were you aware of it at the time? I know, no, you knew
it. Totally unaware of it at the time. Yeah. But then when I saw it back, it was like you could see the anxiety in the dressing room, people wishing each other all the best. And then I have a really memorable moment about when we went out into the tunnel. The tunnel at Lisbon is quite short, so you pretty much only had enough space for the 2 1-11s to line up, and then there's the wall, but there was just enough space for me to be like the 12th man right at the end of the line, because I wanted to see out onto the field what was happening. And it was the end of the ceremony, and you could see the act going on the pitch, all the colours. You could just about work out that the Real fans were to this side, you could see the white, and then just there through the doorway, the red and white of Atletico, and then the trophy was sitting on the podium. And it was a real, like, hair on the back of your moment situation I was in. And I was standing right behind Cristiano. And without even realising it, it kind of took my breath.
Yeah.
And I went like that, and he just turned and looked over his shoulder and went, "Paul, don't worry." Like that. And I thought, really, I'm not even playing. I'm not even playing. And he's telling me not to worry.
He's hereby got my Ballon d'Or vote next season. That is class,
that
man.
Was brilliant.
That is wonderful.
It's a great moment. I'll never forget that.
I often, when I talk about, I don't know him, but when you interview him or listen to him, he's actually really witty, intelligent, admirable in just about every way. And he gets a terrible press because he's demonstrative and he cares and he's got the pin, he'll show it. I love that.
Mm.
So did you take his advice?
I tried, but after they scored and went ahead, it was difficult.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And then comes the episode with Cristiano. Ferguson said in his book that he preferred to sell me a virus. Everything he will sold me would be a virus, never a player. But was at the time I talked to David Gill and with I didn't talk to him because I knew he wasn't in the mood to do that. But top players go where they want to go. You can't do anything against that. I had the same problem with Robinho. When he knew we were going to sign Cristiano, he came to my office and said, "President, I know Cristiano is coming. I'm not going to be the star I wanted to be, so I want to leave." At that moment, a president has to think about the human being, not the player, and say, if he doesn't want to be here, the right thing to do is to let him go to a team where he's going to be happier, and also to get the higher amount of money you can get. And that was it. And I remember with Cristiano, he said, "I want to leave." So in a desperate move, the last month, he decided to offer the player to Barcelona. Barcelona, of course, said, "Fantastic, we are going to have him." And I think even they managed to pay some more for the player. But he says, "No, you're wrong. I want to go to Real Madrid. That's not... That's not the point." And he was going to come the year before. I remember being in Bogota in 2008 in a friendly match. He phoned me and said...
This is Cristiano.
Cristiano. He said, "President, I'm sorry, I can't go this year as we've agreed because I have a commitment with Ferguson, with the club, with the fans, with the followers. Ferguson has been like my father. I've spent here... fantastic years. They gave me the opportunity to be a player I am now. So let's organize everything to go next year." And it's what we did. He signed an agreement with the club saying that he will go to Real Madrid if we paid £80 million, as it would happen. And I think he's been a good move for everyone. Well, of course, Manchester would like to have him still. But when the player says, "I want to leave," there's no way you can do anything against that.
This guy who now, maybe he doesn't enjoy the same cariño as some of the other great players, But in the club's hierarchy of footballers, maybe his achievements now are something just behind Di Stefano. At least he's in the top four or five players.
I have to say, I didn't see... Well, I see Di Stefano one or two matches in the last times, and it was a completely different period of time. So there's no way to compare. Different, completely different football. But I haven't seen a player like him. The combination of skill and talent with the obsession to be the best.
Because Cristiano is obsessed by being the best.
Obsessed in being the best, focus only in being the best. And a combination is unbeatable. He's getting up every morning only with the obsession to be better than the day before. And if you combine that with the skill and the talent he has, I can't see any other player like him, really, in the last decades. Maybe when we call about Zidane, Maradona, other players, Messi. I know they're, of course, fantastic players, but in my opinion, is the one I had closer. And it's difficult to find a player with that mindset, with that idea of football, is not doing anything against being the best. And that, for me, is difficult to find in any industry in life. It's really unfair that here, for example, this season has been questioned.
Aggressively questioned and booed.
Even by some of the journalists. And I really don't understand a player that's scoring an average of 60 goals and playing like he is playing. But it's true that sometimes... you have that unfair situations. Maybe what I said before about the kind of followers that Real Madrid has, not identified with the crest, with the shirt, with the flag, but with the success.
Success.
If you don't get the success, well, you are not fit to be playing here.
But Presidente, so you signed this man, even though by the time he joins you've left, he's your player. I think, listening to you, you feel the same as I do, and I'm happy to admit this. I think one of Cristiano's problems in how he's perceived is that he's brave enough to come out and say what you've said. I want to be the best. He said, I want to be considered as the best ever. Not I am. I'm going to try to prove. It's a very American thing. I'm not ashamed to say that's what I want in my life. And it seems to me here in Europe, certainly in Spain, it's not very appreciated if you say, I'm going to be this good. I'm not boasting. That's my objective. I think when he speaks about it, people don't like it here.
I remember a sentence of my father that is very appropriate for this situation. And he said always, in Spain, it's a country where you have to be forgiven for your success. You have to try to be forgiven when you are successful. And that's a sentence I remember all my life when I see a situation like this. It's a country very special. It's marvelous, fantastic. I really love my country. But we have some problems with the envy.
Yeah.
And if we're someone who is taller than anyone, more handsome than anyone, that he is successful in what he's done, you have to be careful. You don't have to be arrogant and say, I am the best. I am, perhaps, as you say, in other cultures, that's something is seen like an example. That if he's like that, I can be like him. So I'm going to work hard to be like him. He is not like that. It's the idea of much better. He is not very good because I'm not going to be like him. Mm. And that's a philosophy, I think, quite wrong. And remember that you must be forgiven when you are successful in Spain.
To get success or to sign somebody like Cristiano means that you must learn things or delegate to find your way through a maze, because the transfer market is brutally difficult. Tell us about the process of...
In those cases, is the player, the one who always say, I want to be there, like has happened with other players. I think Mendes was in touch saying, well, I think he is a player that wants, the player would like to come to change, would like to, like in any other business in life, people want to change from a company to another. And I think he wanted to assume another challenge, coming to a different country. I think maybe the weather has been also important in his decision to change the weather of Manchester for the weather of Madrid. I think he's happy here. And Mendes started to say, well, it could be a possibility. I didn't want to do that without Manchester involved, because it's not the way to do that. Just going through another line. And I remember talking to David Gill, fantastic guy, by the way, very good friend and a very good general manager.
Yes, they've missed him since he left.
Yeah.
They've missed him as much as the manager.
No doubt. He's one of those people that you must have with you always, yeah, if you can.
Yeah.
So I talked to him and he said, no, Ramon, he's not leaving. He's good. Well, okay, he's not leaving. I'm not going to say anything against you, but if the player wants to leave, let's get an agreement that it's okay for everyone. And it's what finally we did. And when he said, okay, let's fix a price, it was the 80 million. If Real Madrid pays that amount in June, that would be for you. And that's what we did. And it was easy. When the player wanted to, was so sure that he wanted to come, there was nothing to do with Manchester or with Barcelona, only Real Madrid. And I don't know, in the case of Cristiano, I think it was okay, the money. I was criticized because people thought it was a high amount of money, but I think it's been proven being very cheap.
You end up playing Madrid?
Yeah, starting the game, and yeah, it was Ronaldo scoring a free kick. You don't want anyone scoring against you, but when you see Ronaldo's stanch free kick in the top corner, I mean, I was clapping myself. 7-0 down at the time, I was thinking, well done, well done.
Boy, that boy can hit it, he's got a future. Yeah. Let me reel it back. The word gets out, somebody says, Roman, did I come to town? How was it? How was the message spread? What did that feel like?
I mean, when they're shutting down roads, they get the whole hotel to themselves. Bournemouth done, I think, at the time, everything to get them over. I think they even flew another aircraft over just for their duvets and their mattresses, so they could all have their mattresses. So it's mental. And yeah, when Ronaldo's coming, and we had Marcelo playing, we had everyone.
Modric, Khedira.
I mean, they didn't come over with a reserve team. They played everyone. So when you're looking at them on the pitch and...
Diego Lopez, Carvajal, Nacho, there's an obvious question coming. Pepe, Cuantrao, Modric, Khedira, Ronaldo, Isco, mm-hmm. Ozil and Benzema was their starting 11. Which side were you asked to play on and who were you up against?
I was against Cuantrao.
Okay, that's better of the two complete Carvajal, I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was the experience like, football-wise, mentality-wise?
I just wanted to treat it like a normal game, if I was honest. We knew they were going to have loads of the ball, like you do. But, yeah, do you know what? I actually played all right that game. Mm-hmm. It was our first championship season, or it might have been our second championship season, I think we played them. And it was so sunny. I just remember, and I think there was more Madrid fans than there was Bournemouth. I mean, it was incredible. And I don't know, I thought I actually done well that day, take away the scoreline. But just playing with these... against these guys, I've never felt anything like it. Space where I thought I was going to get space, you don't get space. Just the quickness. You think, I sometimes feel like, oh, the big teams, like they slow it down and stuff, but the speed they play at is incredible. And to get their best players on the ball, they've always got ways to get their best players on the ball, which I love, because obviously you want your best players on the ball. And it's not as easy as just, right, we'll give it to them. Just the movements they make to create space for them.
So to draw you, they'll be thinking three passes ahead.
100%.
I'll tell you what we'll do. Our aim is to get to him. Yep. We'll do this, that. We've dragged them. Look, there's the space that we're building towards, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah. And I remember Ronaldo was out on the wide left and Cuadrado, I had him. And just for him to get Ronaldo on the ball, he just ran me away into a position that I've never been. He just ran in field and I was like, oh my God, do I go with him? So I went with him and it just opens up Ronaldo just to run at his defender and do his stuff. And it was... yeah, it was a moment I'll never forget, playing a team like that and just watching them, just every touch.
Were any of them surprising in any ways? Oh, I didn't expect that. I don't know if it's aftershave size, noise, aggression, friendliness, I don't know.
They were very friendly, to be fair, after the game. I mean, they didn't just walk off inside. They spoke to us, which was nice. But I don't know, I think Ronaldo, just how much he worked. I don't know what it is now. I've watched him a couple of games, and some people do say, oh, he doesn't maybe work as hard as other players. But in a pre-season game where he could have just jogged around and he was tracking back, he was doing everything. And I don't know, just maybe that was what was this was about, what, 4 years ago we played them. It might be different now, but it was how much he worked. And sometimes he does get scrutinised for his work rate, but I think you might not notice him doing as much as others, but he does do it,
but it is
effectively.
There. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to The Big Interview. It's produced by me, which sounds egotistical, but it's also true, Graham Hunter, and Back Page. Our music is by Beer Jacket, who else? Editing by Charlie McGarry. Thank you to our hosts at Acast and our loyal sponsors at Bet365. We're also supported by our socios. Find out how to become a socio, how to support us, at patreon.com/Graham Hunter. Here endeth the lesson.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.